Let me say this. I enjoy being a spiritual father, along with being a natural father. And to me, the role of father is an absolutely important role, and it's something that I take seriously, because I believe that all of us should take that role seriously. Maybe you're not a natural father. You know, the Bible tells us to be mentors, to be spiritual fathers for people in life, to give somebody something to look up to. I got a simple name for my message today. It's called a Father's Day message. It's not a fancy name, but I think that the message that I'm going to be speaking through it is awfully good. Well, I'm talking, if you'll get your Bibles out and turn to Judges chapter 14. So I believe most people deal with regrets in life. Like not being a good enough husband or dad, or maybe not good enough provider. Or maybe you have regrets that you don't feel like you said enough good uplifting words to the people that you love. As we look at our lives, we may see things that we don't want to remember. We may look back and see things that we don't want to remember. But let me say this. We can't change yesterday. None of us can go back in time and change yesterday. But what we can do is we can change today, and we can change from now on. We can change how we interact in life based upon what we've done. Matter of fact, the past, the things that we've done in the past, should be a good teacher for the things that we're going to do today and in the future. Today I want each one of us to look how Samson lived his life and how that he ended well. That is chapter 14. Samson is not necessarily, you'd think, a good Father's Day message example, but for me, I feel like the Lord gave me a perfectly good reason to look to Samson as a Father's Day message. Chapter 14, verse 1. When I'm going to be skipping through the word. I'm going to try. Look, fathers, everybody look at me. Guys, I know that the women can sit here all day more than men can. So I'm going to try to keep it short and get us out of here on Father's Day in a timely manner so that we can go enjoy it with our families. But in verse 14, verse 1. One day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. Let me just say this right now. That was one of his downfalls. Women were catching his eye. When he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye, and I want to marry her. Get her for me." Sounded like a spoiled brat. Think about it. Now, you have to understand, let me give you a little background. He was judge of the nation. He was set aside as a child. He was a Nazarite. His hair was never to be cut. So he was set apart in his life. Let me tell each and every one of you, you were set apart for something in your life. No matter what you think, no matter what you feel, God has set you aside for something in your life. And it wasn't a mess, okay? It wasn't a destruction. It wasn't for you to do whatever you wanted to. Each one of us have to understand God had a purpose and a destiny for our lives, just like Samson. So he tells his mom and dad, "Get her for me." Verse 3, his father and mother objected. "Is there even one woman in our tribe and among the Israelites who you can marry?" They asked, "Why must you go to the pagan Philistines to find a wife?" But Samson told his father, "Get her for me. She looks good to me." Now I'm reading out of the, Holy Bible New Living Translation. That's the one New Living Translation. Let me just say that if he would have been my child and he'd have said those things to me, his rear end would still be hurting. Talk to me like that. I locked him up and said, you're going to marry an Israelite woman, and if you don't like it, we'll leave you locked up until you learn to like it. You know why? Because he was not the daddy. The daddy was. Samson was the boy. Now, God's going to use this mess that Samson calls a life anyway. Look at me. God's going to use this mess you may call a life anyway. You may have made all these mistakes and done all these stupid decisions, and God will still do something with that mess. You need to understand that. He will. He wants to. I'm living proof. When we look, his father and mother didn't realize that the Lord was at work in this. I don't think God was at work in him being a brat. I don't think God was at work in him doing something his mom and dad didn't want him to do. I think God was at work using whatever he was able to use in Samson's life because, one, there was an anointing that had been put upon Samson to judge the nation. Just like there's an anointing waiting somewhere in your life. Everybody listen to me. There is an anointing waiting for you somewhere in your life that God wants to release so that you can fulfill the destiny he's called you to. That doesn't mean you're walking in it now. Doesn't mean you got it right now. But I'm telling you that somewhere in your life, there's an anointing waiting for you to fulfill your destiny. And when you realize it, you ask God for it, you'll be able to step into it. But until then, you're not going to. Until then, you're going to walk without it. Until then, you're going to just assume that you're doing what you're supposed to. But see, I believe that the story of Samson, of course, I like the whole idea of strength and power, and I believe that's what men, fathers, should represent, is strength and power, not just physical strength, but strength to stand firm, strength to do what's right, strength to say, you know what, no matter what, I'm here, no matter what we go through, we're going to make it through it. I think that's what the picture of a father should be. Now, don't get me wrong. Us fathers, we get grumpy, and we get angry, and we say things we shouldn't say, right? Don't act like I don't know what I'm talking about.
The wives are all nodding their heads.
Yeah, I know they are. But when we look at Samson, in verse 5, he said, his parents were going down to Timnah. A young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards. And at that moment, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. He did it as easily as if there had been a young goat. But he didn't tell his father and his mother about it. Let me explain something. Something shows up here when I read that. The protector in Samson jumped up. Just like the protector in being a father should jump up in us at times. There should be something in a father, or if you're playing the role, if you're having to walk in that place of father and mother, let me just say this. There's signs that just something jumps up, that protector jumps up in you and says, we won't be having no young lion having none of my child today. Right? And he ripped it apart. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't go brag. When you realize the anointing in your life, you don't go running around bragging about how God anointed you because you realize it ain't got nothing to do with you anyway. Okay? Samson was anointed in spite of himself. Can I get an amen? He did stuff that if I'd have been God, I'd have yanked that anointing away from him. I said, you need to learn a lesson, boy. But verse 6, the moment the Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully, he ripped. The moment. How many know that even though you're anointed sometimes in life, that doesn't mean that anointing is at 100% of power all the time? And how many know that sometimes by the way we live our lives, we may cause that anointing to reside or move forward, to expand or contract? It's saying at this moment when he needed it, guess what? It expanded in his life. You know what that tells me? That when we need God to be there, when we need those things to be there, we need that anointing, it's going to be there if we've lived in our lives in such a way that there's that free avenue for it to come and go. I've said this, probably 1,000 times in my life. I believe that the power of God's available to us. I believe that 100% of God's power is available to us. I just don't believe that 100% of God's power is available to us 100% of the time. You know why? Just imagine, especially me, I'm driving down the road, and you pull out in front of me. And God's power is available to me 100% of the time. Boom! He's gone. Crispy critter. Boosh! Why? Because in my moment of road rage, how dare him? Boom! He's gone. That's why 100% of God's power is not available to us 100% of the time. Because we can't handle it, okay? Just like Samson couldn't handle it 100% of the time. When we look, it said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he killed the lion. We need to live our lives in such a way that God can trust us with his power. We need to live our lives in such a way, dads, that God can trust us to say the right things, to do the right things, to be the right thing when we need to be. We should be sources of encouragement. You know what? Sometimes it's hard. I remember growing up, the kids growing up, I'd have to come in and I'd have to wear their hiney out when I get home. It's just the way it was. Because Dad was a lot of times the enforcer. She might have whooped him 30 times that day. And it was like, okay, give me a nothing type of thing. Not that she didn't give him a good one. There's just something about when Dad come in, boy, you're going to get it. Right? You never said that, had you, Art? You get in there until I'm too mad right now, I'll beat you to death. Go in your room and until I calm down. Y'all can laugh. Oh, by the way, they weren't laughing in my house when I said those things. And you know what? I had to wait till the Spirit of the Lord came upon me for me to go in there and do it right. Because sometimes I'd sit down and have to talk to them, explain to them why. Because, see, I don't think just a dad just goes and whips. I think Dad teaches. Because, see, if we don't teach, then it's punishment. There's a difference between teaching, correcting, and punishment. Punishment says, I'm going to make you pay. Correction says, I'm going to teach you. See, I believe we're to be teachers. The whole point of inflicting pain on a child or in God when he does it in our lives, it's not so that we can be mean, it's so that there'll be a remembrance of what's being taught. When God does things, we have to, how many of you walk through something in life, you're like, that hurt. And you still remember it. And it was 20 years ago. And the reason why you still remember it is because it hurt. And you don't want to go through that again. God uses pain in our lives, whether you like it or not. I know this is not one of them feel-good messages in that sense. That, but sometimes we go through hurt. When you lift weights, guess what? Sometimes you get through and you're like, I'm hurting. You know, the muscles are hurting and you... But guess what? You got something out of it. So, when Samson arrived in Tamar, he walked, he talked with the woman, and he was very pleased with her. I'm going to skip down. He takes his wife, he took her for his wife, and he asked the Philistines that were there to solve a riddle. To make a long story short, they couldn't solve the riddle, and they used his wife to get to him. They told her, if you don't tell us, we're going to burn your mama, I mean your daddy's house down and all that. You get the riddle for us. And Samson picks up in verse 18. He had realized what had happened. And so before the sun set, this is that verse 18, on the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. What is sweeter than honey? What is stronger than a lion? Samson replied, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. In other words, if you had not been coercing my wife to tell you the answer, you'd have never solved that riddle. So he goes down. He finds 30 of their fellow countrymen. He kills them. Takes all their clothes off and gives them to them because that was the bet. They get mad. I'm going to kind of go through the story. They get mad. They wind up killing, burning his wife and her father. And so he really gets mad. And so what does he do? He goes and catches 300 foxes. It'd be good. You hear me? To catch 300 foxes. You ever seen a fox? That's my point. I've seen one and maybe two in my whole life, and I'm 60 years old. Okay, you just don't see them. And he goes and catches 300 of them. That's anointing. Something was happening. I don't think he was that good a trapper. And he does what? He ties their tails together. This is that angry little boy that's messed up in the head. Okay? Ties their tails together and then puts a torch in between them and sets them loose in the fields. And they burn up all the fields of their wheat and stuff. So they get mad. Make long story short, he kills a bunch of them. A whole bunch of them. And it doesn't look like he's being a godly man. Because he's doing things that don't look godly. And by the way, has anybody here ever done anything that doesn't look godly? Okay, just want to make sure that you're able to relate to Samson. And so here he is. He does these things. By the way, it says he tore off the gates of the city and the post, and he carries them away. And they're iron gates, and they're huge, and they're big. And I looked it up, and it was 20 miles he had to carry them to put them up on that mountain. 20 miles. Not only did he rip them off the city, he puts them on his back, and he carries them up on the mountain, and it's 20 miles that he carries them. You know what that also tells me? That God will give you the strength you need when you need it to do whatever it is that he needs you to do. We keep looking to find the strength of ourselves. I found out a few weeks ago I could do things I didn't think I could do anymore. I'd go paint every day in 95 degree weather, you know, sweat like a... Anyway. So he put these foxes together. They burn it up. He kills all these people. I'm fixing to close. I'm bringing it to an end. I'm going to skip all this. Because there's something I want to say. When we look at what... How many of you know that if somebody killed your wife, you'd be mad? A lot of us have plenty of reasons to be mad in life. It's not whether we have the right to be mad or not. It's what are we going to do with the anger? How are we going to process it? What he did is he got mad, went and killed them all. Then he guessed what he did. He went and got him a hooker. The truth. Why? Because he started drowning his pain, his self-pity, and he started doing things he shouldn't do because God didn't call him to go live and sleep with a hooker and a prostitute. He didn't call him to go get drunk and act like a fool. That's not what God called him to do. But he did. And then he meets Delilah. He says he's in love with her. I don't think he's in love with her. I think he's in love the way she looked. Okay? I think he was stupid, first of all. I think that he allowed what he was seeing with his natural eyes to get into his head and affect the way he dealt with life. Because have you read that story? And that woman would say, well, what is the power of your strength? He'd tell them she'd do it and she'd call the Philistines. You know, I may not be the brightest star in the sky, but after one or two times, I'd figure it out. She ain't on my side. She's on somebody else's side. Was it kidding? When we stop and we refuse to listen to God, when we start allowing our natural lives to lead the way, guess what we wind up doing? We wind up leading ourselves to a trap, just like he did. It cost him his eyes. Because she wound up getting the truth from him, source of his strength. How many of you know that it wasn't a secret? The source of his strength was God. God just used the hair. How many know that God could cause the strength to be in him with or without the hair? He could have, but he chose the hair. How many know that your strength doesn't come from what you do? It comes from God. I've had long hair, by the way, and it didn't give me any strength. Okay? It has to be something God chooses to do, and that's not one of them. So they gouge his eyes out. Now, I just want to bring this story to an end. When we look at him, Samson had said, listen, guy, he let him out. They'd all made fun of him. They were making fun of his being captured. He looked at the young man that's taking him out. He prays to God. He said, Lord, sovereign Lord, remember me again, O God. This is in Judges 16:28. Please strengthen me just one more time. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes. Sounded like vengeance. Remember, God said he was in this. He was going to use. So I believe God used Samson's rebellion against the Philistines. Because guess what? Who was the judge? Samson. How many know that even though Samson didn't judge the world right, God still made the enemies of Israelites pay? Just because we look around the world today and we don't see things happening the way they should be, that we don't see things, we need to understand something. God's ultimately in charge. He is ultimately in charge. Even if we've got godly rulers that are not acting like godly rulers, even if we got people that we've sent to Washington thinking they were supposed to be, or we are city council or state senate or whatever you want to look at, and we thought they were godly people but they weren't acting godly, guess what? Ultimately, they're still under God's hand. And God will make them, cause them to come around so that his will be done. How do I know? Because Samson's a good story. So let's look at what was some of who was Samson? What were his strengths? How can we get, as dads today, from looking at who he was? How can we get from him? One, he was strong. He was courageous. He was fearless. We should be fearless as men and women when it comes to facing the enemy. Hear me. Because the enemy that we face today, the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers. It's a spiritual battle. So we should be courageous. We should be leaders. God didn't call us as Christians to get saved, set, soak, and sour. Right? He called us to be leaders. He didn't call us to be the chosen frozen. Us four and no more. The gospel of Jesus Christ is another's gospel, and it's an inclusive gospel. It's not an exclusive gospel. Y'all could say amen something along the way. Am I boring y'all? Okay. So when we look at it, he says that we need to be a leader. And we also need to look at his life and realize that he was a judge. That was what he was called to do. He was supposed to be a protector. Judges protecting his people, protected his family. He was also a warrior. Do you feel like a warrior today? Because you should. You should feel like that God's given you the strength to be a warrior, to be a protector, to be a judge. And he was also anointed to fulfill his destiny. And I like the words that he said at the end. Lord, let me finish well. Let me finish well. You know what, when we all look at our lives, maybe we can't take pride in who we've been maybe at this past, or maybe we've made some mistakes and we don't like what we've done. But you know what we can do? We can look at God and say, Lord, let me finish well. Let me stop doing the things that I've been doing. Stop doing them the way I've been doing them. Stop acting the way I've been acting. Stop taking offenses the way I've been taking them. And Lord, finish well with my life. Maybe you're 16 and you still got all your whole life in front of you. Maybe you're 30 and you just getting started. Maybe you're 60 like me and you're like, God, I don't have that many years left, so I want to make every one of them count. Let me finish well. Let me finish well. And how do I do that? Lord, I do it with your anointing. I do it with your strength, not mine. I do it with your ability, not mine. Let me acknowledge where I failed. Because he did. I think he said, I wind up getting in bed with the Philistines. And I let them pull the wool over my eyes. You know that you can, just like I said last week, in those vines. Or it was Wednesday, wasn't it? Or was it? I don't forget what that was. But that how the branches can lead us in certain ways in life. Was it Wednesday? Okay, so for those that weren't here Wednesday, you missed a good message. Okay. So those branches in life lead us. In other words, those avenues in our lives, they lead us in places maybe that we shouldn't be going. And sometimes God will cut those branches off because we don't need to be going there. Just like Samson, he allowed his flesh to rule his life. Think about that one for a moment. He lived, because nobody's going to tell him no. How many of us are saying, you ain't telling me no? Right? How many of you ever, let me say it this way. We may come to a church and we're like, okay, and then we get mad. Like, well, I was looking for a church when I found this one. Or leave our spouse. Well, I was looking for one when I found you. Or job. Well, I was looking for one when I found this job. How many of you know that's wrong attitude? Bad attitude. God wants to take those kind of attitudes out of our life. What is it God told you to do? Think about that one. I know Zach brought it up about Daniel in the lion's den today. The king had made a law and he couldn't change it. And guess what? They used his ego, his pride, to make that law. Knowing that he liked Daniel. And Daniel had to be put in that lion's den because of pride and ego. But you know what he kept saying in the king? I hope, Daniel, tell me your God's going to be able to save you, because I can't. Here's the king. I can't save you. How many know that sometimes you just have to realize kings and governments and all those things and jobs and all that kind of stuff can't save you. They can't save you from the pitfalls in life. But you know what? When we trust in the Lord God Almighty, we got all that we ever need. Let's all stand to our feet. Maybe you're here today as a father, as a mother, as a single person, and there's just been some mistakes in your life that you wish you could go back and change. But you can't. Maybe today you're carrying some offenses, or you got hurts and deep wounds in your life. Let me just explain that as long as you don't allow God to heal those, you're the one that's going to pay the price. Allow God to heal those wounds in your life. Nothing is worth hanging on to and destroying your future and your life. God, let me finish well. Let me run this race. Let me finish well. Maybe today you're missing a loved one, like my sister said. Maybe you're missing your father. Maybe you're missing your husband. Maybe you're missing somebody in life. And you would like for God to be able to just come and surround you. Everybody, just if I would, just get you to close your eyes. I'm not going to have an altar call today. What I am going to do is I'm going to ask you, if you fit in any of those categories and you'd like God to come touch your life, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand, and I'm going to pray for everybody that raises their hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever the need is, you're needing God to heal. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that you see all these hands that are raised. God, you see every heart that needs to be touched. God, you see every hurt that still consumes. And God, I'm asking right now in Jesus' name for you to reach down from heaven, for you to reach from the inside of every person that belongs to you, and God, that you would bring healing right now, spiritual, physical, and emotional healing. God, I just speak it over everybody here right now. And Lord, we just choose by an act of our will, Lord, to lay down the offenses and to pick up healing in its place. Lord, I'm just saying thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that the rest of this day, for those, Lord, that may have been feeling the loss, the remorse of somebody that's not there in their life today, God, I just pray that today you'll wrap your arms around them, God, that you will cause them to be drawn close, and Lord, that they will feel closer to you than they've ever felt before. And God, that they'll not feel loneliness, but they'll feel, Lord, you filling that void. So, Lord, I'm just asking. And God, I just pray for those that are feeling hopeless today, feeling like there's no answer. God, I thank you that even in the midst of Samson's life coming to an end, God, you are able to bring an answer and deliverance. So, God, I'm asking today you'd bring that answer and deliverance right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, let me just say this. The reason why we do Father's Day and Mother's Days, the whole point that they came about, for us to remember how important family is. To remember how important those roles are in our life that God implemented. So today, I encourage you to love upon the people that are around you. You say, well, they're not my family. Maybe they're your spiritual family. Maybe they're your church family. Love on them and let them love on you. Let that place of belonging come into your life and realize that God wants you to feel welcomed and not alone. Amen. Father, right now in Jesus' name, my Lord, I pray as we walk out of these doors, and God, we walk into this world, Lord, that so desperately needs you, God, that we will be aware that we are a light. You've called us, Lord God, to make a difference. So, Lord, we're going to walk out of these doors, and we're going to be salt and light to a lost and dying world, to your glory and your honor, in Jesus' name. Amen. I encourage you all to have a great and wonderful Father's Day today. God bless each and every one.